Randy and Christy Shepherd are going to be meeting with those who are 4-year-old and less and smaller. Kristen is upstairs to meet with those who are older than that. And so so I really appreciate our children's workers and them putting the effort that they put into it every week. And so thank you so much. There's probably two groups of people who never get the appreciation that they deserve. And one group is the children's workers who are diligent every week to perform and to help these kids get to know Christ in a relational way. The second group is the people who work in our sound system and sound booth. And so I just want to say thank you. We probably have 8 or 10 something that work in that area, and they just switch off every week. But I just want to say you guys are doing an exceptional job, and I appreciate you very, very, very much. Thank you again for all of your service and all of your work. Well, oh, by the way, next week, Grandy's going to be here, okay? He hasn't visited in a while. Some of you don't know Grandy. I'm a ventriloquist, and he's my partner. And so if that's probably more like it. Probably more like it. But he wanted to come, and so he's going to visit with us next week. And so if you are, if you have grandchildren that need to be here, then let them know Grandy's going to be here, and I'm sure they will come for him when they don't come for me. So it's good to be in God's house today. We're studying through how to have unshakable faith. How to have unshakable faith. There are 12 planks to this bridge of building faith. We're on bridge or a plank number 11. And so this is part two of this plank. There's probably going to be at least 4 parts to this. Okay. And this part is God's guidance. If there's ever been a time in our history of a nation, of the world, that we need God's guidance, today is the day. And so I think it's very important that we understand what it looks like to build this faith, because there's a lot of Christians who don't have this faith, this plank fully in place regarding God's guidance. We talked about last week God's guidance and how God uses his word, the Bible, to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to bless us as we go through life. Now, yeah, last week we talked more regarding God's, the biblical precepts concerning morality versus immorality. But there's more to Scripture than just the morality part. I'm not saying that the morality is not important. It's vital to our Christian growth. It's vital to our spiritual life. It's vital for our physical life. And so as we implement these things in Scripture regarding morality, we have benefit physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Every aspect of our lives is enhanced by applying the truths of God's word and walking in those truths. God wants to guide us with his word, but the Bible is not just a book of morality. There's also, it's a road book to heaven. Okay, it's a road map to heaven. So that's one of the things that Scripture is for us. Another thing is that the Bible is filled with guidance and wisdom regarding life principles. That if you apply these principles, you will find success. Okay? Now, there are many principles in God's Word. There's business principles. I read a book some time ago, a few years back, by a Jewish rabbi, Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N, I think is the way you pronounce that. And it's Business Secrets from the Bible. I would encourage that. It was a very interesting read. And I'm sure you're aware that the Jewish culture has a way of accumulating wealth. And one of the reasons they are known for that is because they've applied the business principles that God has put in His Word. And so this rabbi has written a book, The Business Principles of the Bible. And if you're a businessman, I would encourage you to read this book and begin putting these principles in practice. John Maxwell, he didn't write the Bible, but there's a Bible called the Maxwell Leadership Bible. Okay? And so what he did, he went through the Bible and began putting, highlighting the business, the leadership principles that he found there. And so he's a gifted leader, and so he went through Scripture and he began to implement the principles in Scripture that would enhance his ability to be a better leader. And he's a tremendous leader, and he encourages others to put those things in practice. There's principles on how to raise a family. There are principles on how to stay married harmoniously. It'd be good if we read those. There are principles in practically every aspect of life. Did you know that there are financial principles in God's Word? And that as you put these principles in place, that they help you financially. It's just amazing that God knew what He was talking about, isn't it? It's amazing that when we put God's Word into effect, it begins to affect our life in a much greater way, and in a way that we find success in those things. Now, the principles that I'm talking about are not necessarily laws as we know of law in Scripture. It's not a sin if you misspend your money, unless maybe you're gambling or something like that, okay? It's not, but, you know, if you, it's not, you're just going to suffer the consequences. But it's more of a law like the natural laws. Whenever, you know, that I don't know that Sir Isaac Newton understood the gravitational pull of Earth whenever he said, oh, that's gravity. I don't know that he understood that. But the law was in place, whether he understood it or not. I still don't understand how Benjamin Franklin flew a kite in a thunderstorm with a key attached to a string. A lightning struck the string, and now we have a light bulb and electricity, because he discovered that. I don't get it. Maybe you can explain that to me one day. I don't get it. But somehow there was a law in place, and he figured it out. And he put it into practice, and because of him following that principle, that law, we are beneficiaries of that. The principles of God's Word are similar to those kind of laws, in that when you put them into practice, we begin to receive the benefit from those things. Sometimes the benefit is immediate, but you probably won't see results immediately, not usually. Usually, there is time that occurs before you begin to reap the benefits of putting God's Word into practice. As you practice them over time, the fruit will become evident. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, it's in chapter 9, but he talks about these principles of planting, sowing, and reaping. So the principle is, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. Okay? Those are just some simple principles. My wife has been faithfully tending her garden, as some of you have as well. Planted seed. Some of them came up. Some of them are blooming and blossoming. I had my first strawberries this week. Woohoo! That was good too, man. But we receive what we plant. We receive more than we plant, and also we receive later than we plant. So here's the thing. Don't quit sowing. Whether it's your finances, whether it's good works or helping other people, whatever it is, don't quit sowing. Even though you don't find that the benefit is immediate, don't quit sowing. So the Bible is a guide for practically every aspect of life. And here's the neat thing. Anyone can read the Bible, Christian or non-Christian, believer or non-believer, and if they put the principles in place, they will reap the benefits. It doesn't matter. You can be an atheist, and you put the principles in place, you're going to reap the benefits. It's a natural law. It's God's word, and he will not go back on his word. If you put it in practice, you will reap the benefit. However, Christians have something that non-Christians don't have. Believers have something to guide us or someone to guide us that non-believers do not have, and we have the Holy Spirit. So I want us to listen to a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples prior to his he was preparing them for his absence. It was getting ready for his death, burial, and resurrection, and he called his disciples together, and he began sharing this with them in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is what he says. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Right, Jesus said to them, listen, I've got a lot of things I need to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it. But I got to go away. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So basically what he was saying, there's a whole lot more I want to share with you. I've been with you for 3 years. I've shared as much as you can receive. And I don't know if it was because they were not mature enough to receive it. I don't know if they were just hadn't grown to a point where they could understand it. I don't know why Jesus wasn't able to share it with them, but he says, listen, you're not ready for what I need to share with you. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send somebody else to share with you what you need to know, but you're not ready for. Okay? Are you following me? And so what he says he's going to do is he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to share with them what they were not ready to receive at that time. They did not understand it. They couldn't comprehend it. They didn't know what Jesus was saying. So the Holy Spirit is here to guide us. That, he told the disciples, I'm sending the Holy Spirit again. They did not understand what he meant by that. But on Pentecost Sunday, they began to understand what he shared. Now, when you received Jesus Christ into your heart, to your soul, when you gave your life to him, the Holy Spirit entered you. And one of the reasons he entered you was so that he can guide you into all truth. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, in him you also trusted, talking about Jesus, and after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. When you received Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life to guide you, to lead you, to help you, to share with you the truths of God that you were not able to receive prior to knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So listen, because God is a loving Father, He desires to give you, His child, direction for life. Just like a loving father wants to give direction to the lives of his children and help them get started in life, making good decisions, helping them to go to the next step in their life. That's the way God is. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to help us with that. And I don't know how to express this more, this importance of being able to listen to and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. Say all truth. Say it again. One more time. He didn't say, I'm going to lead you into some truth. He said, I'll lead you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit's job. One of His jobs is to lead us into all truth. There are certain things that we can find in Scripture that is a guide for us. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever speak to you contrary to what this word says. Okay? Never, ever. And so if you hear something or think something or somebody shares something with you that is contrary to this, it is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to be very careful that we do not allow someone else's truth to supersede God's truth. So, let me share some truths with you. Hopefully you receive this. Our government doesn't always know what's best for you. Okay? Just saying. Okay. Many people in government does not follow Scripture or the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the things that they speak are not truth. And we have to be very careful that we do not follow their truth over God's truth. Let me share another truth. Our educational system doesn't always know what's best for us. They think they do, but just like the governmental system, they neither follow Scripture nor the Holy Spirit. And the things that they speak are contrary to Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And so what we have to do is to listen to what God's Word says, as well as listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Here's another truth. Oftentimes, we don't know what's best. Okay? We think we do, but we often choose the wrong path when we're not connected to the Spirit. There's a passage of Scripture in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right unto a man or a woman boy, girl. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Have you ever in your life thought you were going the right way and just wound up at a dead end? I've done that physically, and I've done that spiritually as well. I've been going down a one-way street the wrong way at times, hoping to get to my destination. But I guarantee if I'd have continued going that way, I would have crashed and burned. We don't always know what's best for us. We think this is the best path, and we will never know whether we're correct or not until one of two things. Either we ask the Lord, am I going in the right direction? Or number two, we crash. And we think, man, what happened? And there are some people who keep making the same decisions over and over and over and over and over, hoping for a different result, but they keep crashing. They keep burning. God gave us, Father gave us the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to bless us as we follow Him. He's there, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. That's why the Father gave Him to us. He's there to help us. Many of you are familiar with Psalm 23. You hear it most often when you go to a funeral. Okay? That passage of Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And there's a few other verses. But what I want to concentrate on are these three verses this morning. So David was a shepherd. He tended sheep for a living. Actually, it was like he was the youngest son, and he got the most demeaning task. Boy, go look after the sheep. Boy, go look after the sheep. Well, Dad, I don't want to look after the sheep today. Too bad. Go take care of the sheep. I don't know if David ever said that. But he realized as he was taking care of the sheep that there were some times that he was needing to do things that he would not have normally would like to have done. One time Scripture says that he went out, there was a bear that came in, grabbed one of his sheep, and took it off. And David said, man, you're not getting my sheep. And he takes off running after the bear. Clobbers him over the head, gets his sheep back. And then he said that there was a lion that came after a sheep. The lion grabbed that sheep, and David said, you're not getting my sheep. Took off running after the lion, clobbered him over the head, and got his sheep back. And David is meditating on these things, and he said, you know what? The Lord is just like that. The Lord takes care of His sheep. Not only does He take care of His sheep, but He leads them to green pastures. He leads them beside still waters. Not only that, but He leads them in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And this is what we discover about David, is that David had an ear to the Lord. If David did not have an ear to the Lord, he would never have been led by the Spirit to do those things. So David had an ear to the Lord. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. David heard the voice of the Spirit. And so too can you. And I want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage you, family, that don't make any decisions until you ask the Holy Spirit about what to do. I want us to look at a passage in John chapter 10. Scripture says, most assuredly, and Jesus is speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And so Jesus used this illustration. They didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. So let's just pretend for a minute that there's 1,000 sheep in a pen. There are 5 shepherds from 5 different farms who put each 200 sheep in this pen. Okay, you follow me so far? And so a shepherd number 1, comes and he calls his sheep. So, Brother Bob, would you call your sheep, please? I don't know what a sheep call sounds like, but Bob is pretty good at it. Yeah.
Come, sheep, sheep. Come, sheep, sheep, sheep.
Okay. So those 200 sheep know Bob's voice. And all of a sudden, they take off looking. They look, they see him, and they take off running toward Pastor Bob. 800 are left. The rest of them run away because they don't know Pastor Bob's voice. So, Chris, you're shepherd number 2. So I want you to give me your best sheep call. Oh, you can do better than that.
Come on over here, sheep. Come on. Get over here. Come on, sheep.
All right. So all of a sudden, 200 sheep began to break away and start running toward Chris. There are 600 left. The other 400, or 600, they start running the other way. Miss Carolyn, what's your best sheep call?
I don't know. I'm not
a sheep anymore. Come here, sheep, sheep, sheep.
Come, sheep. Come, sheep. Come, 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 oh, sheep.
Thank you, Sandy. So, yeah, you sound like a shepherd. So, what happened, those 200 sheep, they break out of the crowd and they began to go toward Sandy because they know the shepherd's voice. So, the whole point of this is, do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? That's what Jesus was talking about here. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, but we now understand it. So the question is, do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? When I was a young Christian and I read this passage of Scripture, I was bothered by it. Because I had not yet learned how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This passage really bothered me because the sheep should know the voice of the shepherd, right? And maybe I was just a lamb and I hadn't learned it yet. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're just a lamb. Maybe you've never met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you don't know whose voice is whose. But maybe you're just a lamb and you've not learned the shepherd's voice yet. And I would encourage you, if I could impart to you anything, I would impart to you this, the ability to listen to and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he's always talking if we're willing to listen. He's always talking if we're willing to listen. So how many of you feel like that you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit before? Okay, good. Usually there's a nudge in our spirit to begin with. It's kind of like an urge, a nudge, not an urgency so much, just a nudge, a thought. And the thought kind of goes from here to here and kind of does something, I don't know how you use, it kind of ignites something in your heart. And then either you obey that or you argue with it. Some of you, hopefully all of you, have felt that nudge in your spirit to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And at some time, you didn't ignore the nudge and you went toward Jesus. Some of you have felt a nudge for others to pray for you regarding healing. And some of you have been faithful to that. And others have said, no, I don't really want to. It would cause the service to be too long. And I don't know how much good it would do anyway. And so I'm not going to do that. Others of you have felt a nudge to be baptized since you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But, then with COVID began and it's like, I'm not going to. Oh, that was a year ago I felt that nudge. Some of you have felt the nudge to become members of the church. Some of you felt the nudge perhaps to go into the ministry of some sort, maybe even to work with the children, but you've not known really what to do with that. And the Lord is still nudging you. And he's not finished with you. So what we need to do is, rather than make excuses for why we shouldn't do what he's nudging us to do, what we need to do is embrace what he's telling us and step out in faith. But I don't, I don't have it all together. Well, who does? Did you know Spurgeon? He was probably one of the world's greatest spokesmen. He had thousands of people in his church. He had an eighth grade education. It's not about what you can do. It's what God wants to do in you and through you. Amen. But you will never experience that unless you move when the Holy Spirit says, move. We're going to have an invitation. And perhaps today you felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Then you get to answer, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit? Follow his paths and experience marvelous, wonderful things that only he can do in us and through us? Or am I going to continue doing what I've always done, resisting the nudge, saying no to the Lord, and just be a seat warmer in this church? Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for being such a loving Father that you want to guide us into pleasant places. places. Lord, help us today not resist your nudging, but to follow you. And Lord, you've given a task to train those who feel those nudgings toward you and toward a deeper walk with you. And so, Lord, we just ask God that all fear would be removed right now. And Lord, that you would have your will and way during this season. In Jesus' name, amen.